Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Cera Sanitaryware Limited Q3 FY17 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Markets Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 3Q FY17 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today Mr. Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor, representing the company. I request Mr. Bharat to take us through the quarterly results, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kamlesh. I'm Bharat Modi, Strategic Advisor to the company. Cera Management welcomes you all who have joined this call. Before I start, I would like to read out a disclaimer, which is as follows. Certain statements in this release concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements within the meaning of the applicable security laws and the regulations. These statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties beyond the control of the company that could cause actual results to differ materially from those appearing in such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements include, but are not limited to, risks and uncertainties regarding fluctuations in earnings, our ability to manage growth, intense competitions, including those factors which may affect our cost advantages, wage increase, our ability to attract and retain highly skilled professionals, political instabilities, managerial limitations, and legal restrictions of acquiring companies outside India, and unauthorized use of our intellectual property and general economic conditions affecting the industry. Cera Sanitaryware Limited may, from time to time, make additional written and/or oral statements, including our reports to the shareholders. The company does not undertake to update any of the forward-looking statements that may be made from time to time by or on behalf of the company as a sequel to or in continuation of these statements. The company also expects the media to have access to all our parts of this release and the management's commentaries and opinions thereon, based on which the media may wish to comment and/or report on the same. Such comments and/or reporting may be made only after taking due clearance and approval from the company's authorized personnel. The company does not take any responsibility of any interpretations, views, commentaries, reports which may be published or expressed by the media agencies without prior authorization of the company's authorized personnel. I would now try to give some glimpses of what we have achieved for the Q3. For the Q3, we have made a modest turnover of about 246 crores for 17 lakhs, and the total for the nine months is 731 crores plus 0.10 lakhs. There has been a growth of 2.48% for the Q2Q comparisons of the previous year, and overall for the nine months, it is 8.82% rise. We also have an EBITDA margin, which is 16.46% for the quarter percentage, and for the entire nine months, it is 16.65%, which also has been on the rise. Our net profit also has been a modest rise. We have 9.31% of the turnover for the Q3, and for the entire nine months, 9.44%. There is a 28% rise in the PAT, and there's a 12% rise for the quarter in PAT. If I take the EBITDA margin, we have a rise of 8.40%, a rise for the Q3, and for the entire nine months, we have a rise of 22% plus. Now, with this, I would state the suggestion to come with the questions from the participants, and I would try to answer them to the best of information and the knowledge. We can start the questions from the participants.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Anshuman Atri from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on performance in a difficult environment. My question is regarding the demand. How have you seen the demand in different segments which SERA operates, the sanitary ware faucets, and what is the expectation for the next quarter and the year going forward as to what kind of growth we are going to see?
Sure, and thank you for your question. You know, if I take the month-wise for the quarter which we ended on December, which is the third quarter, October was reasonably well for us. November has seen a great dip, which we experienced for the first time in the history of SERA. We had grown for the month of October almost with the same pace as that we have been growing, you know, of the previous two quarters, Q1 and Q2, almost about 12%, 1.5% growth was there for the October. November witnessed a tremendous leap of almost about more than 18-19%, which was never there, which was almost a degrowth, you could call it, for a particular month, I'm saying. And again, we probably, you know, revived it for the month of December. And obviously, as we all know, the demonetization effect was severe. The consumer footfall was just not there. And we were only trying to survive on the previous orders, which were booked and deliveries that we were able to make. There were a lot of odds against us in terms of even to meet with the delivery commitments, because there was an issue about the transporters. There were issues about how, you know, we pay them ongoing expenditures that they need during the transport, and there were a lot of restrictions on the cash withdrawal. Everything put together was the fact of the demonetization, which gradually in December had revived. So for the quarter, you know, we could at least came out of that part, and we could make a modest growth of about 2.48%. All the segments, including faucet, sanitary ware, or tiles, everything had suffered during this period. And as we look forward to the quarter, which is now, which has begun, and for FY17, the last quarter, we hope that okay, we should be able to maintain 12%, 1.5% growth that we have maintained for the first two quarters. And overall, for the entire year, we should come out with at least about 8 to 9%. Aspirationally, we would like to at least 10% growth because generally the last quarter is always more in terms of the growth whenever we have compared that. But this is a very different economic conditions and we need to wait and watch and take a call. So we'll be very guarded on that. We would say anything between 9 to 10% growth. That's what we expect for the whole year. The quarter may be about 12 to 14%.
Okay. The second question is regarding the breakup. Is it possible to get a breakup of revenue and sanitary ware for the quarter?
Sure, I can give you for the quarter. You know, we had for the quarter we had 60% growth. 60% of the top line is comprising of the sanitary ware. Out of it, 48% is pure sanitary ware, and 12% is allied product which go along with the sanitary ware. We have about 21% coming from faucets, and we have 16% coming from the tires business. The balance 2% is from the wellness range of the product. That makes 100%.
Okay. Lastly, on the tiles, how are you seeing the ramp-up?
The tiles has been reasonably doing well, and in fact, you know, the southern market also supported us where we have a tiles JV plant. So this has been on a rise also in terms of acceptability of the product and in terms of how well we are able to really cater to the demand and the market needs. On a year-to-year comparison, the tiles business has grown reasonably well.
Any numbers?
As I said, you know, we have about 16% of the business coming from tiles.
Okay.
So you could always work out, yeah. I've given you the numbers.
Last year, what was the share?
Last time it was 13% on the last, I'm saying the quarter ended on December 2015.
Sorry, I missed the tile number.
Tile number last year, you know, on a year-to-year comparison on a December 2015, it was 13% of the total revenue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which is down to 16% this time.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aksh Vora from Praj Financial. Please go ahead.
So congratulations on good set of numbers despite challenging times.
Thank you.
So just wanted to know, what is the market size for sanitary ware, faucet and tiles, probably in India, and the mix between organized and unorganized, if you can just give sort of approximate numbers.
But the sanitary ware is concerned, it is 50-50% almost. When you talk about tiles, you know, unorganized sector has a major play, there was 60-62%.
Okay.
And when you take about faucet, you know, the steel hire is more than 60-65%.
Okay.
These are unorganized.
Right. What would be the entire market size for sanitary tiles and faucet, if you can just give me that?
Well, if you really see, you know, the sanitary ware is close to about 4,200, anything between 3,500 to 4,200, depending upon what kind of a product mix that you would really get into it, because this has been on an increase, the premiumization is going up, and therefore the total volume and the value, both volume may remain, you know, in terms of the growth slightly lower, but the value goes up.
Right.
When you talk about the faucets, the ratio is about 4 times, so the market size is close to about 15,000 crores, and when you talk about the tiles business, which is double, and the faucet, which is about close to 28,000-30,000 crores of business.
If you can just give me the market share which we have, I think so sanitary ware we have around 25% market share. What would be that in tiles and faucet?
See, in sanitary ware we are more than 23-24%. We are aspiring to reach to 25% in the time to come, which may take about another 6 months, year, maybe down the line one. Faucet, you know, we have hardly a very small, I'm talking only the organized actor, if I really say, you know, we hardly have less than 3% share, which offers us a tremendous scope for further growth in that segment. And tiles, we are just a peanut, you know, we have just made a modest beginning.
Right.
And our total turnover currently is a drop in an ocean.
Right. So, sir, are we also looking to get into pipes or other kind of businesses? Just because we are into bathroom and accessories kind of products we are providing. So, in future, we'll be getting into pipes business also as well?
Currently, this is not on the anvil, and it doesn't fit into our business plan as of now.
Okay. And, sir, in I think so last conference you had mentioned that we'll be taking around 3.5 to 5% price increase in November, but then the demonetization happened. So, did we take any price increase?
We did take a price rise. In fact, this was already operational from October onwards. So, all the deliveries which were made after October, if the order was placed before October and deliveries in October, then there was no price rise. But anybody who had placed an order in October and the deliveries either were made in October or maybe in succeeding months, it had a price rise.
Okay. And what would be in the quantum of price
rise? Anything between 3% to 7%, depending on the product, the territory.
Okay. That's wonderful. And sir, just lastly, what would be the mix of growth between sanitary ware, faucet and tiles for the quarter?
We have almost maintained the same thing, because in overall growth, as I said, you know, is about 2.48%. Tiles has slightly gone up because Morbi, the entire business that which used to feed the market, remained almost closed for more than 2 months, and that really had given a lot of market opportunities for organized players. So, tiles was more in the demand. The rest we maintained.
Okay. And, sir, do you see the same shifting, the kind of situation you'd seen in November, December, the unorganized player, the business or the demand for which used to cater to unorganized segment, that shifting towards us, that we will be seeing that gradual trend shifting towards us in coming quarters?
You know, in fact, if you really see, you know, the current situation after a demonetization and what the GST is in the offing, these will get accelerated.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you know, the trend has already started even a few years back.
Right.
A lot of people who have been trying to graduate from unorganized business, or for that matter, those end users who have been using unorganized product, manufactured by unorganized products, are becoming more brand conscious. And therefore, we have a larger market share which is coming from anybody who graduates and makes it a very shaken point because we are a value for money product. We have a range which is for the mass people as well as for an upper lower kind of a category.
Okay.
In every product segment, you know, it's sanitary ware, faucet as well as in tiles.
Right. And so lastly, if I can ask just what would be the geographical mix revenue? I think we are strong in South, so geographical, if you can just give out the revenue mix.
Well, we have a large revenue, right? About 40 to 42% coming from the southern states, and we have the western and the northwest states, you know, comprising of Maharashtra, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Haryana. They all put together also really contribute a sizable business of another about 40-42%. The balance is coming from the northern and the eastern. We have a lot of virgin states like, you know, the entire Madhya Pradesh, which is a large state, number one. We have a lot of business potential in Chhattisgarh, West Bengal, where we are making a lot of headway now. And, of course, the northeastern states.
Yeah. Okay. And so the impact of demonetization was seen more in north and eastern states compared to west and south, or it was centralized?
Well, it was in bits and pieces everywhere. You know, sometimes what happened, you know, the north was leading, sometimes the south was leading on that kind of a thing. But overall, 1 or 2 months, on the contrary, I might say north was better this time in terms of weathering out the effects of the demonetization.
That's wonderful. Okay, thanks a lot, sir. I might join the queue later for follow-up questions.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Dasharma from Crisil Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is that this can just wanted to get your sense, sir, on each of the segments, the mass market, the mid-market, and premium market, what was the impact of demonetization, if you could just share your thoughts?
If you really see, it was across, because people were just, you know, taken aback when it announced on 8th of November by Honorable Prime Minister, and they did not know what to do about it, and therefore everybody were trying to manage their own affairs. The priority were only to manage their own affairs rather than to really make a fresh buying. And when it came as a halt to the demand of maybe, you know, degrowth, there were no footfalls witnessed by majority of the dealer distributors. Yes, right. There is a cream class of a people who probably were never affected with this kind of a thing, but they were holding on their decisions about it because everybody were more or less in a watch and wait kind of a situation.
Right, sir. Sir, moving beyond demonetization, which I believe to be a transitory event, so how do you look at the growth in the next 2-3 years in terms of recovery in real estate demand? Because I think that has been under pressure for the last few years now. And we expected some recovery, which I think now got delayed by a few more quarters. So what is your thought on that, sir?
Real estate per se, as you said, is you know, is again in a wait and a watch mode because of government regulations, the RERA Act coming in, the Benami Property Act also coming
right.
into the front. But then there are also silver lining in terms of government promotions on affordable housing. Government has a long-term view for the next 2 to 3 years that by 2022, everybody must really have a shelter. So 1 or 2 bedroom apartments, you know, which used to be not the flavor of the day a few years back, has suddenly caught up onto that part because we have now a nano family, you know, we have a family which is a nuclear family, smaller family. They don't need a bigger house or a bigger apartment or 4 bedrooms.
Okay.
People are really looking forward, you know, for 1 or 2 bedrooms.
In
affordable housing, which ranges anything between 15 lakhs to 45 to 50 lakhs, this is what is going to grow further. And we, as such, you know, in terms of our product positioning, are fitting well into the bill. So we see in next 3 years, maybe, you know, demonetization, as you very rightly observed, is only a transitory event. the moment, you know, we cross over that part, we feel that the demand spurt should really happen and we should gain on that part. Maybe it may take, you know, the timing was maybe 6 months or maybe a year down the line. But even during these also, as you said, you know, we have observed it that we have been growing moderately with about 12%, 12.5%. If we get a tailwind, you know, we might again bounce back to more than 20% growth, potentially, yes.
Right, sir. Right. So just last couple of questions. First, just wanted to understand your strategy on the new product launches and faucets. So I think faucets in last few quarters has been a little slow growing, whereas compared to last 3 years where it was growing daily fast. So what kind of products are you trying to launch and to catapult our growth from here on, sir?
You see, we are trying to introduce a few more new designs where in terms of the technology that we will be using, it will be really more helpful from the maneuverability point of view, from a user-friendly perspective, and the aesthetics of it. We have developed more than about 10 to 15 such designs, and which will be launching, you know, we've been gradually launching that part. And this process has been on, but the last quarter has remained subdued more than it used to be earlier also, and therefore, you know, these plans of really getting it in terms of giving us a strike where we are able to grow at a faster rate has been pruned down.
So, is there any particular price point that you're looking at? Are we going head-on with Jaguar, where they are very strong, in premium and the upper end of the mid-market, or are we sticking more towards the mass market where we can get really a big share from the unorganized? Just wanted to get your thoughts, sir.
You see, currently our focus has been on a quality products, the services. We are not really, you know, thinking about a competition and their strategies and their product position. You know, we want to give the best of the quality. We want to really give the best of the services across the product range that we have. Some of the product where, you know, we do compete Jaguar, and price is never a point of a, you know, a competition or a comparison when you fight a competition. You know, it could matter for a while as a psychology. But when, you know, one is buying, you know, a faucet mix of about 2,500, 3,000, 5% difference here and there does not make a difference in terms of changing a decision. They really want a good quality product, a good service backup, and a good aesthetic.
Right, sir.
So we are trying to focus more on that part and try to create our own niche market on that. And that, you know, on a long run, that only would pay us rather than price, you know, a price war or fighting against a price. Jaguar has a very strong position, we all admit that part. But it does not mean that, okay, there is no room for many others.
Right.
On the contrary, that kind of a situation is more favorable because it would be a consumer delight that he has more options to look at it. So Rai is such a strong brand, which will really make it.
Absolutely. The last question from my side, just wanted a sense on how the Israel's products are doing. Have we launched it on a pan-India basis or any particular region we are focusing on?
Come again, what's your question?
Isvia products.
Isvia products, all right. You know, Isvia is, you know, we are trying to position our product because Cera has, we are a single brand company and we are perceived as a value for money.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, we've been trying to premiumize, we have been trying to take make a use of a Bollywood celebrity to really go for a premiumization of some of the product range and across the product basket that we have. But despite these, you know, we need a foreign backup many times because that's what the psychology here is. And therefore, SVR, you know, is one of the best European designed brand which we are trying to begin, trying to position. But it's too early to really comment on that part. It will take its own time, maybe another year, year and a half down the line. By then, we are able to create a niche market for that part. But the efforts are on.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. I'll go back to the queue. Best of luck.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karthik Swaminathan from Catamarines. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. I have two questions. One is that, sir, could you tell me what is your market share in each of these segments, meaning that you have a mass market, you have an upper, lower, upper middle, and an upper, and a luxury segment. So what would be our market share in each of these segments?
In the mass market, we have almost about 40% market share. The upper market, we have divided into two categories, you know, upper, and upper-lower.
Yeah.
Upper is about 23-24%, and upper-lower is another about 22-21%.
Okay.
We have 15% in the premium market.
15%?
Yes.
Okay, sir, thank you. And the other question, sir, is that, so how many distributors do you have for your tiles business?
You know, we have across who sell our entire range of a product, and we have about close to 1,500 distributors, and the ratio of the retailers is 1 to 10. So we have close to about 15,000 retail points.
So, but these 1,500 distributors will not all be selling tiles, right?
You see, they may not be keeping a stock, but they would be interested in selling a tiles. Many times, if you know what we have, you know, we have almost about 23 depots across the country. And we have about 12 to 15 display centers and about 150 galleries where our products are displayed. So even if a dealer who is not selling our product at the moment and he really would like to get into it, he can always suggest the end user customer to go and visit and take the code number of the product, and he can always arrange that part within 48 hours.
So just if I had one, I can ask one more question. So could you let me know which are the states in which Cera is like the lowest cost producer, like including the transportation cost? Which are the states where Cera would be the lowest cost producer versus the market leader and other large producers of sanitary ware?
Well, you know, we are a single location company as far as sanitary ware is concerned. Now, when you talk about a single location, we have an advantage in terms of we are getting a gas, which is one of the main ingredients for the energy which is requisite for a uniform and consistent production quality. We get this gas from the GAIL, which is very near to our factory.
So your plant is located in Gujarat. So I want to know, apart from Gujarat, which are the states in which your transportation cost does not increase so much to negate the effect of the lower cost of your lower other costs which you have?
Now, when you really ask this question, you need to really take this call also in comparison that supposing if you really have a plant in some other states as well as an expansion, you know, how the economy really would work. So sanitary ware is a very complex process. It's not easy.
Okay.
Even if, you know, you have a second plant, but to really establish the process parameter and to really come out with those kind of a recovery and the efficiency is a very, very challenging job. We have settled the processes where we are. Even if somebody takes on to that kind of a thing, and we ourselves would make an effort that the kind of a recovery or a process parameter may take a lot of time to get established there. And by the time, you know, the production efficiency, the cost of production, even if for that new plant located somewhere else, and the savings that you otherwise would get in terms of the freight cost, you need to make a comparison that way.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Vikram Kashyap from Kedia Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. And
good afternoon.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers given the circumstances.
Thank you very much.
Sir, my question pertains to demonetization again. Sir, many organized players in the sector has talked about the impact of demonetization is almost over and they are back to normalcy and expecting to grow week on week. But in last TV interview, Mr. Sanghvi talked about it will take another couple of quarters for company to come back to their previous volume growth. So how do you read it? Like it's a pessimistic approach or we are not evaluating the situation correctly?
There are two ways you could look at it. You know, we have always been very conservative, very down to earth as a management. We do not really try to paint anything which is rosy. We believe in performing better than what you always said. This has been history for Cera. In any of the statement anybody makes, whether Mr. Sanghvi makes or I make or Mr. Kothari make or Mr. Somani makes it, you know, we always perform better than what we have always said about it, barring certain unfortunate circumstances which probably, you know, you could not estimate. That's number one. That's what the culture of the organization is, number one. Number two, Mr. Sanghvi did say that, you know, that we would bounce back to a normal growth about 12.5%, 13%. That's what, you know, we have done it in Q1, in Q2. Q3 was very exceptional because of a demonetization. Despite this, you know, we had made about 2.5% as a moderate growth part of it. Now, when you really talk about that, you know, when we had gone to 15 to 18% or a 20% growth, now, this is when you really have a larger base, your growth. You know, once upon a time, we had a CAGR of 36% about 4 years back, if you see it.
Right.
But as your base becomes larger, to on a year-on-year, to really go that kind of a growth, I would really call for a Herculean effort, and even if it humanly may not be possible in the dynamics that we are in. And therefore, to expect a growth of about 12 to 15% on a year till you really get a tailwind. you know, but it's a very moderate growth that we have been estimating on that. But that's what exactly what Mr. Singhvi said, that yes, we are very hopeful to really bounce back to the main growth. But when you talk and compare that, okay, we had 4 years back 36% CAGR, and can we really go on that part? It's too ambitious at the moment.
Okay, so looking at the recent developments and government focus on real estate, giving affordable infrastructure status, and revival will take place, not say in a quarter or a half year, we're talking about, say, 2 to 3 years. So is it possible to accelerate our growth to at least 20% level?
Well, 20% is what aspirationally we would be always trying to do that, but the market dynamics also would come into the fray. If you really make a comparison about other industry in our own building material segment where we are into it, growth of 20% in the current scenario looks ambitious. Though, you know, aspirationally, yes, you would like to cross even that figure as well. So what is happening, you know, that we have been focusing more on a cost control. We have been focusing more on how really improve our productivity, our efficiencies, which will give us, you know, a higher profits. Our EBITDA margin, therefore, has been on a rise. Our net profit has been on a rise. The return on shareholders' investments would never be affected. It would always be on a rise. Growth alone on a top line, which is not in our control, we are not focusing more. Let the market revive and we will really bounce back. In the meanwhile, we are developing capabilities. We are building capacities. The moment, you know, we get a tailwind, the market revives, you know, we are ready for that.
Okay. And one last thing, sir, you have told about 23 to 24% is market share in sanitary ware segment. It is into organized sector or it is in overall market?
It's an organized sector. Unorganized sectors, many times you don't get a data also which would be reliable.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best for the
pleasure. Question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Good afternoon.
Sir, if you could talk a little bit about the utilization and what is the, you know, capex we are kind of looking at for next couple of years and which segments?
Utilizations for the quarter ended, you know, the third quarter ended December 2016 was subdued because of the demand reduction effect. We were normally, you know, we used to operate our sanitary plant almost 100%. We had to reduce that to about 93-94%.
Okay.
That was one. On a faucet, you know, there was also a demand reduction effect. We used to have a utilization of more than about 70%. We had reached, which again went down to 45%, 40%. And so was the case also for the tiles. But then again, all the three segments in January and even the 6 days of February that we really witnessed have coming back to the normal.
Okay.
It may take gradually to reach back to the original figure, but then it is coming back as normalcy is improved.
And what about the capex?
Capex, we have, you know, we have a rolling plan for the next 3 years, which is about 180 crores.
Okay.
And this year, we already have spent a capex of about 94 crores as of now.
Okay. And
it is largely basically for expansion, modernization of the sanitary ware plant. We have spent on that. We are also implementing SAP. We are also trying to, you know, promote our brand by having more studios and the display centers across. We've been now trying and eyeing one in Cochin. You know, Calcutta has already started and we'll be eyeing one more onto that part.
Okay.
So that will increase our brand visibility also.
Right.
And we are also trying to, you know, make our faucet plant, it's a more composite in terms of manufacturing some of the very important assembly parts in-house, the handle, which is made of a different kind of an alloy, which either we were either outsourcing or we were importing from China. But then now, dollar has been really on a rise in terms of the rupee comparison, and therefore import substitutions that we are now trying to do. So we are improving our technological capabilities as well on a faucet plant, which will make our faucet plant more economical as well in the time to come.
And how much are we spending on the faucet?
On a faucet, we are spending, you know, close to about 8 crores. I'm sorry, it's about, yeah, 8 to 9 crores.
Okay. And on sanitary ware?
On sanitary ware, we are spending about 34 crores. I'm sorry. On Sanitaryware, we're spending 18 crores, 19 crores as of now.
Okay. That's out of the 94 crores breakup you're talking about, right, sir?
That's right. And we have, you know, SAP implementation is about close to 14, 15 crores.
Okay.
And we have a building for marketing, you know, the display centers is about 19 to 20 crores.
Okay. Okay. And what about FI18, same run rate, about 100 crores will continue?
Well, it all depends, you know, how the market really, but then ongoing, you know, we have been committed to the expansion and the growth, and therefore, as and when it really calls for. But we are very cautious, you know, we would like to remain a debt-free, and we would always try to infuse the internal growth as much possible that we have. We're a cash-rich company, and therefore, this does not stop us. If we see the opportunities, we are in business. And we are very, very conservative, but, you know, our enterprising temperament also is never subdued on that. These are all transitory events which happens and just go away, but then we are committed to the growth.
Right. Because I was just wondering, our capacity utilization is closer to 100% now in sanitaryware. Wouldn't we look at capacity increase and what kind of optimum increase typically is possible and what kind of
capacity
it requires?
In the sanitaryware, as you very rightly have said, and we are almost 100% now. You know, we are manufacturing 3 million pieces per annum. And we already have taken on hand the further expansion to make it 3.3, which has been for quite some time. And we have been slightly slow on that part because of the market conditions. But we have done a lot of groundwork on that part, and that thing is almost 70% complete now. And really to really build that capacity, make it operational, will not take more than 3 to 4 months the moment the market improves.
Mm-hmm.
And we always have outsourcing capacities available from our channel partners. So we cannot allow the market to be lost purely because we do not have a capacity.
Right.
And as a strategy, we generally create a market first with the help of the outsourcing partners. When we stabilize that, we build capacities.
What's the percentage contribution from outsourcing this time around in the respective segment, sir?
When you talk about in terms of the volume, it is 20%, but in terms of the value, it is about 40%.
From outsourcing?
That's right.
Okay. And how about faucets and tiles?
Faucet is 50-50, and tiles also is almost 50-50.
In terms of
but then tiles, we do not have our own capacity anyway. You know, we have a JV partner one, and again, you know, I could call it is one of the outsourcing. Though we have made investments there, it's our subsidiary. But it does not stop us even to outsource from Morbi also. We continue to outsource from Morbi to cater the market, which is north and the west.
Right.
We would like to use our Anjani plant located in south to cater to the southern market because we have a freight advantage there.
So you said, you know, Morbi was kind of shut for a couple of months. You know, the couple of other tiles companies which had a call, they didn't really talk about a couple of months. They were more of a few weeks shut down. So what's your sense? Have they come back into full business? Have they increased the invoicing level? What is the behavior of unorganized players you've seen in this particular quarter?
You see, you have to take this in a two way. One is an organized sectors, if you really in isolation of various facts, they have built an economic value to the nation. They already have a plant there. They generate employments also, though unorganized.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot really close their eyes permanently and close down that. There will be a settlement, you know. The way they have been doing business, they'll have to improve and they'll have to fall in line with the government procedures and what government expects them to do.
Right.
Now, this transitory stage may take anything between some people who have been more comfortable in terms of their own systems can do it in 2 weeks or maybe 4 weeks. Some people may take about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, small and big, so many units in Morbi. Everybody has a different kind of an economic structure that they have.
Right.
So they will take their own call, how they would like to adjust. But yes, the economic value that they have created, you cannot allow them to go in vain and they'll bounce back. They would always come back to the business. But the question today is that, you know, the price gap that used to exist between the organized player and the unorganized player will be narrowed down sizably.
Right, right.
And then it's a call for the initial
bracket, right, sir?
GST, sorry?
GST rate, assuming 18%.
18%, that's right.
How would that play out, sir?
But it's not there at all. Why do we really talk about that? It's 18%.
Okay. Understood. And in terms of the gross margins, how has been the raw material prices? How do you see it going forward in terms of margins at gross margin level?
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, the prices have been steady on raw material, and our operational efficiency also has been focused more and improved. And therefore, our EBITDA margin has almost gone by more than 125 basis points.
Right.
On a year-to-year comparison, there is also room for a further improvement, slight improvement. We would like to go to at least 17% EBITDA margin plus.
Okay. And in terms of the in the demonetization period, did you also kind of look at incentivizing the channel to, you know, gain market share, or there was no change in the selling strategy as such?
You see, we take demonetization as a transitory event. You cannot have a policy to really combat that by incentivizing them. Yes, they are our channel partners. If somebody, you know, they were finding difficulty in paying or reduced, you know, generally take about 45 days, and somebody wanted a credit extended to 60 days, yes, we did help them on that kind of. But there were no extra incentives offered on that. And that too, on a case-to-case basis, how their history has been with us.
Right.
And what is the potential that they carry. On a case-to-case basis, we have allowed them, but there is no incentivization at all, no.
Understood. How has been the Jan month? You said, you know, fourth quarter you're looking at.
Has really been reasonably good, you know. It has been reasonably good.
You wouldn't be able to put a number at this point in time.
Well, SEBI does not allow me to do that, and therefore you could excuse me if I don't answer that, but I can only tell you about this, that yes, you know, as the indications given on a public platform yesterday by our executive director, Mr. Sangvi, that, you know, we will bounce back to about 12-13% growth for a quarter. That looks fairly reasonable within our achievements.
Understood. And just last question, sir, in terms of the how do we want to play this affordable housing? How much contribution does this lower side of it has, you know, the mass market has for us? Why I'm asking is, on one hand, you have the demand actually picking up or driven by affordable housing construction. On the other hand, supplies will get impacted because of the GST and the pricing difference, whatever these guys, the unbranded, have. So how would we look at this opportunity in terms of the growth?
It's a tremendous opportunity down the line that we see into that part. You know, demonetizations, it just happened. And we had never really known that it's going to happen. But prior to that, if I really take, you know, for last 3 or 4 quarters, we have been discussing on a GST, and GST is going to bring a benefit to the organized players. We have taken these as a conclusive statement. Now, demonetization is a far more reaching effect, and it has happened even prior to what the GST has been coming into the fray. So GST now backing up the demonetizations, and a parallel economy which used to only, you know, serve the building material industry would get mitigated, which would mean a lot of offering, a lot of scope for organized players. I would only compare these to a normal, you know, when you are driving on a highway. Until this, there were a lot of unorganized traffic. Was somebody was taking your side from the left and the right. There were two-wheelers, three-wheelers. Everybody were trying to speed up. Now it will get more regulated. And this, the moment it becomes more regulated, you know, the growth pace also for the organized player become more evidently clear. So in a time to come, organized players should stand to benefit. That's what we all hope for.
Right. Any thoughts on the percentage?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr.
Lohade. I'll come back in the queue. No problem.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is on the line of Dhaval Mehta from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Good afternoon, sir, and congrats on a steady set of number despite the challenges. So my question is on the inventory levels at the dealers end. So have you seen that the inventory level has increased in last few months because of demonetization, or it is at the same level what it was earlier?
No, your question is very valid, but let me correct that question. You know, the dealers generally do not carry inventory. Inventory is carried by us in our depots.
Okay.
Generally. Some distributors do keep inventory because they have to have a display centers like a, you know, Sara Galaxy, what we call it.
Right.
But generally, we have a stocking point only at our depot, which you across the country about 23, 24 stocking points. There, the level of inventory definitely did go up because of the demonetizations. We generally used to carry an inventory which used to be about 45 days, you know, which has gone up to about 52 days.
Okay, okay.
But that's not an alarming situation, that's the way I would say.
So have the inventory levels come down to 45 days, or still it is in the range of 50?
No, it is. I'm only talking Q3.
Okay.
Q3 level, and I'm talking about 52 days.
Okay. Okay.
The receivables, yes, got affected. You know, generally about 60 days it used to be coming. Now it's coming about 70 days.
Okay. Okay.
But this is an event which is a transitory event, and it has to settle to, back to a normalcy.
All right. So so we expect that in few quarters we will be back to what was the normal range of around 45 days.
This would, yes, that looks very feasible as well.
Okay.
There are a lot of revival signals are being received also by us.
Okay, okay. So my second question is, did we find any difference between the institutional sales and the retail sales, or both were following the same pattern?
Well, institutional sales during demonetizations were not really much affected. Retail definitely was affected because, you know, a lot of people, they thought that, okay, what would happen now? How would I spend? And people had a lot of restrictions in drawing cash from the bank. Their own official money, you know, whenever you try to pay cash and buy something, does not necessarily mean that, okay, it's all unaccounted. Most of us have been, you know, used to really make purchases in cash when we draw money from our bank account, which is official money. But that has been the mindset of the people. Now, these got affected because of the restrictions on the withdrawals.
Okay. So
therefore, the retail did suffer.
Okay, okay. So if you want to quantify, like, what was the growth rate of our institutional sales?
It's almost 50-50, generally it has. But the institutional still did not really got affected the same way it was retail. There was an effect in November.
Right, so
but then it was not as severe as it used to be as it was for the retail.
Okay.
But then again, retail also bounced back in December onwards after 15th December and January, as we see it, you know, retail is coming back to normal now.
Right. So, is the right thing to assume that the retail sales ideally would have declined during the quarter if you take the entire quarter as an entity?
Looks like, yes. But we do not have, you know, those definite figures because it is dealer. Even he never bothers whether you take or buy material for a retail or for an institutional. When you get orders, he is only, you know, keen to execute the order.
Okay, okay. So my last question...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mehta.
Okay, I'll come back in the queue, sir. Okay,
thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Seth from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Thanks for taking my question, sir. On the, you mentioned we had a price hike of 3-7% during October, and for the quarter we reported around 2.48% of sales growth. So can you quantify the volume degrowth we have seen across?
You see, volume does not really make that big a difference because eventually what happens, you know, whenever you try to sell a bigger piece, the volume would decline. Or even if you manufacture a bigger piece, when you try to premiumize, the volume would decline. If you start manufacturing, you know, small, big items, then the volume would increase. But eventually what matters to us is the production value. Irrespective of what I manufacture, we manufacture bigger or a smaller pieces, becomes very redundant.
Okay, sir.
The production value that we tried to receive did suffer because, you know, we had to cut down by about 5% the capacity utilization as well because otherwise you had towards building inventory.
Correct. So,
and it's always very difficult decisions, you know, whether to choose to build inventory for a while or to at least, you know, get a loss of production hour that you lose permanently.
Okay. And did we have any price hike during Q4 or start of the year?
Q4, we have only recently taken a price rise, and therefore it does not allow us to take any further price rise now because we are comfortable with what pricing that we have now been able to get.
Okay. And lastly, on anti-dumping duty on tiles, any update on that front?
This has been coming to hold after 30th September. There are no revivals on these as of now.
So we will, the ADV will be there till 30th September. Last.
Any import or anything which has come after 1st October, anti-dumping duty is not applicable.
Okay, okay, correct. Okay, sir. Thanks. We'll join in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Satpati from Amritsar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have basically two questions. One is that how different was the demand degrowth between Tier 2, Tier 3 as well and the Tier 1 cities, and how big is Tier 2, Tier 3 for you?
Well, it was across, basically, because people were really taken aback, you know, what happened, you know. On the night of 8th, if you really see, and the after effects thereafter, people were only trying to see where they stand. The priority was not exactly, you know, that I want to construct a house, or I want to buy a house, or I want to renovate a house, or I want to buy something. And it approached every consumer spending. And there were only discretionary spending that we fall into it. We are not part of the essentials like a toothpaste or a sabu. But you need next day, and therefore the effect was that, okay, everybody could defer their decisions, let really situations become clear, and then they try to spend. So it was across the market segment, and across the, whether it was a premium market or a mass market, across there was a hole.
And sir, you have done a great job in terms of margin in this quarter. Can I ask, what is the outlook for margin from here on?
Well, we would sustain this margin, our endeavor would always be to really improve upon.
Okay. I mean, you are not really seeing many cost pressures.
Sorry?
Are you seeing any cost pressure, or you will be able to manage it?
Well, we should be able to manage, because we have a lot of inherent capabilities developed in-house, and therefore we should be able to withstand those kind of odds that happen. But then we would like to sustain the kind of a margin that we have been showing year after year with improvements.
Okay.
And the improvement efforts are still ongoing as they continue, and therefore those efforts must bring results in a time to come.
Understood. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Samar Sarda from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Bharat Bhai. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, I'm doing well, Samar. Tell me.
Just a couple of questions and then probably come back. On the margins, if you could just help give a little more color on the EBITDA margins of the three verticals. Because versus FY16, we've seen more than 2% like improvement in margins. But with the last three quarters, like, it's come down. So the reasons for that as well.
You see, as you know, we don't share product-wise or segment-wise margin. And therefore, you could excuse me on if I don't share those kind of things with you. But as I have always been saying that, you know, sanitary ware, which is almost about more than 50% of our total manufacturing base, has much larger margin compared to the faucets.
Right.
And therefore, when you really talk about the margin that we have, you know, EBITDA margin would only apply to what we manufacture in-house. If we outsource, then it does not apply. It applies only on an ROE, how much, you know, I get on my return on my investments, or the working capital cycle that it takes to really come back, and what is the return that we get on that part. That would be another parameter. So faucet and sanitary ware manufactured in-house only would be relevant from your question's perspective. Am I right? Is that all right to you?
Of course. What I was wanting to check, Bharat Bhai, was, you've been mentioning for the last few quarters that the focus will be on margin improvement, premium products, and net income growth.
That's
which is
right.
Very visible from the nine-month number, like we've grown over 25% on the net income basis.
That's right.
What I was really trying to understand, not specific margins per se, for the last three quarters, and especially third quarter is a different event, the margins are again probably a little on a downward trend. From a projection perspective or an understanding perspective, how do I look? Because our power cost, employee expenditure, and other expenditure, we've not taken much of, like, marketing expense also. So how do I
do not know where did you get those figures from, but, you know, we have been consistently improving our margin from the last, the fourth quarter of FY16, the first two quarters even of the FY17 also, leave aside
the fourth of 17,
the 17 you know, right. Even then, you know, if you see, we have improved on margin, on an EBITDA margin as well as on a net profit that we are. So margin, I mean, on an improvement. There have been, you know, a lot of production efficiencies and that we have improved. The parameters have been changed on that part, and we have got a lot of automation. We have brought automatic robots also, which really help us consistency, which controls our rejections also. The productivity has improved.
Right.
Therefore, the margin is on a rise if you talk sanitary ware. The same is taking the same in faucets as well.
Sure, got it. My second question was on the additional 0.3 million pieces. Just a bookkeeping question there is, like, what was the total cost we had estimated for this 0.3 million pieces, and how much of that have we already spent?
You know, we are estimating that we might be spending about 35 to 40 crores when you really want to raise the capacity. And I'm, when I'm making the statement, I'm not taking into consideration that expansion and modernization, generally that we would do in an existing plant.
Okay.
So that 40 crores, you know, we have almost spent about 25, 30 crores, and we need to have some balancing things on that part. So we could make it operational about it. We need to really, you know, make the complete plant layout more balanced, where from a green ware, where it goes for glazing and then it goes for a kiln for passing through the heat. We have some excess capacity somewhere. We have some capacity which are not matching to the capacity of the kiln, and therefore we are trying to balance that capacity. And then we would be able to raise overall capacity that it would come out 3.3. We are also trying to infuse something where the capacity realizations also can go up.
Okay, and this cost is excluding the building cost because we just have putting plant and machinery,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. So building might take about another 10 to 12 crores, estimated, yes.
Fair enough. I'll get back to the queue. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Chaudhary from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Girish. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I'm fine. How about you?
Fine. Thank you so much.
Yes. Sir, basically, I have a question on the tiles business. So what is our average 9-month utilization? Because I don't want to know 3Q. As you said, utilization had come down because of demonetization. But I just wanted to know broadly 9-month average utilizations for the
tiles. Average utilizations 9 months is 70%, 65%.
Okay. And follow up on this, basically, what's our broad expansion plan? Because our broad 3-year outlook on the tiles business, the reason is because we are broadly around, I think we'll be ending this year at around 150, 160 crores from the tiles business. And on for industry size of around 25,000 crores. So for us to stay really relevant and compete with the biggies, we need to become big in this business. So what's our broad outlook if I have to ask from a 3 to 5 year perspective on the tiles business, on expansions and the product portfolio?
See, currently we have about 10,000 square meters. That's what, you know, Anjani Tiles, where we have a JV that we are manufacturing, number one. I'm talking 3 to 5 years when you ask that question, which is very relevant and very, very, very nice question to really answer. I also feel very comfortable. You know, the question here is that, you know, when you take that kind of a time span, it gives a lot of room for how we plan business. When we really got into this part, you know, it was never that, okay, we would remain only about 150 crores. We would like to grow further and would really like a presence to be felt in terms of that. Maybe 5 years and long, we would like to at least about 1,000 crores business on that part. And we really had Anjani Tiles identified for that as the right partner, where 10,000 square meters capacity is scalable to almost about 4 times, about we can go to 40,000 to 50,000 there.
Okay.
At the same time, you know, we identified Rajasthan, where the government of Rajasthan is putting up a complete ceramic a zone with a lot of government incentivizations on that part. We have acquired a land there of about 95,000 square meters of an area, which will again allow us to put another 50,000 square meters in a time to come.
Okay.
So we would, you know, in the next 5 years, we would be at least about 100,000 square meters manufacturing capacity we are eyeing on that part. Currently, we are only 10% of this, but Thai's business does offer us a tremendous amount of scope for further scalability.
Okay.
Question is that, okay, how are the tailwind or headwind that we face in a time? So about 3 to 5 years is a very safe bet on that part.
Sure. And in terms of product portfolio, sir, where are we currently in the tiles business and where do we want to get?
You see, eventually, currently, you know, tiles business is only about 15% on and off average, anything between 13 to 6, I take about 15 as an average. Faucet is about 20%, 21%. The rest is coming from the sanitary ware. In a time to come, what would happen that, you know, the business of sanitary ware will go to about 40%, 45%. The tiles and faucet both will take about 25, 22, 25% business.
Okay, okay. So, broadly, I wanted to know within our tiles business, what is our current product portfolio and what are the plans there?
Well, we are currently only in soluble salt, which is almost about 70%, 75%. And we have a plan to go for a GVT and double glaze, also for a double charge as well.
Okay.
We are making a lot of modifications in the current plant at Anjani. We have invested further about 7 crores into upgrade that plant where we could manufacture GVT,
okay,
which is about a margin as well.
True. Sure, sir. This is really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
Hello.
Yeah, tell me, Pranav.
Yeah, yeah. So, sir, just wanted to have...
Sorry to interrupt, Pranav. There's a lot of disturbance from your line, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's clear?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so, sir, just wanted to have an understanding on how the tax rate is going to move for next 2 years.
I mean, tax rate, you are talking about a GST coming out of the fray, which is one national tax against a multiple tax, which is going to be, we hope it's going to set around 18%.
Mm-hmm. Sir, I'm talking about income tax, sir.
Income tax will be about 25 to 30%. Currently, we are into 30% plus surcharge bracket, you know, that will come down, hopefully, you know, as the government is also trying to encourage. But then let's take it 30% as of now.
30%. Okay, sir. And, sir, how is the fuel cost, particularly the, on gas, currently is moving? So, are you seeing any pressure on the pricing of the, on the fuel?
Not much.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Bora from Union KBC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So one question was a clarification. So you said that in case you need additional supplies, if in case there is stronger than expected demand, you can outsource anytime you want.
Yes.
So just wanted to understand, in that case, will we be still be able to provide the quality that Cera stands for in case we need to do that kind of a short-term arrangement?
You see, whenever, it's not a short-term arrangement. We have been outsourcing for almost last 15 years. We have been quite a significant player with an outsourcing business model.
Mm-hmm.
We have identified our suppliers in every category of a business. And since we also know what the manufacturing process is, you know, we can always impart our own technical knowledge to our channel partners. We handhold them.
Mm-hmm.
We control the quality. And therefore, the quality which is going to suffer with an outsourcing is not there at all as any kind of a risk.
Understood. And you indicated that these partners who you use for outsourcing, they are anyways compliant from tax point of view. So in case there is some increasing amount of regulation, they will not face any...
Certainly not, because when we identify those partners, they have to be to a standard that we have set for us. And we have very high corporate governance standards, and therefore, you know, we have been very selective when we choose a channel partner for us.
Great. Second question was on the margins. If I understand correctly, you said that the current EBITDA margins of 16.5%, you would like to take them to 17% and 18%.
Aspirationally, yes, yes. Aspirationally, always.
Is that supported by a 12.5% margin, or would you need to grow faster to expand margins?
Well, economy of scale would always come into the fray, but currently we are using our capacities, which we are into it, you know, almost about 98-100% in sanitary ware.
Mm-hmm.
What is more important for is how do we improve the process parameters further?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the productivity could be better. We have done a lot of automations, and therefore, the productivity is coming, which is far more better. We have gone even for a 3D printing machine, which gives us a lot of advantage in terms of turning out a new design with more accuracy. The molds which we make are more accurate.
Okay, and then just understanding this, in case this macro, tailwind that we are also hoping on, which is the affordable push for affordable housing, if that happens, would we see stronger growth in our mass market segment, which could probably, you know, result in slow, lesser margin than what we are making on the gross level?
As a matter of fact, you know, the margin, whether we are in a mass or a premium or a kind of, yes, premium product, when you talk about that 15%, there's a definitely very good margin on that part. But when you talk about mass and upper and upper lower, our margin do not really make that big a kind of a difference. And whenever the difference make, we try to car up with improved productivity on that part. So whether we remain in a mass market or we remain, you know, we always compare ourselves as Maruti rather than, you know, Honda or a Toyota. Leave aside BMWs and Audis. And Maruti also, as you know, has been doing exceedingly well with the kind of a margin and the kind of a profit and the kind of a growth that they've been doing. The same analogy applies to our kind of a positioning here.
Okay. And not on a quarterly basis, but, you know, in case there is sharper than expected adverse movement in raw materials, we can protect our margins through price increase?
Yeah.
Or how difficult is it for us?
No, we have a long-term contract for the raw material. You know, we get our regular supplies from the mines. And when you talk about a sanitary ware, you know, the cost of a raw material is not that very high. The clay does not. What is important is the process.
Fine, sir. Thank you so much. That is all from my side.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. Bharat Bhai, Kamlesh here.
Yeah, Kamlesh.
Sir, a couple of just data points, sir. Could you share, as we stand now, any timeline for the commissioning of the sanitary ware expansion and faucet, this internalizing of the products, when you see the timeline for that commissioning?
You see, as I said, you know, we are almost ready. It might take only about 3 to 4 months if we really want to commence and go to a capacity of 3.3 from where we are now.
Okay. Okay.
The question is, you know, we are slightly slow on implementing that part because of the headwinds.
Sure.
So because of the current market scenario, which is not supporting us, and therefore we do not want to create a capacity and we are not able to use it.
Okay. Okay. And, sir, for premiumization or the internal sourcing of this part for faucet, that also would commission by that time?
Yes, that we are already on to that part.
Okay. So it would be commissioned soon?
It would be commissioned. It may take another about 6 months down the line and we should be able to do that.
So within 6 months, both the projects should be up and running, right?
Well, if the market permits, yes. Market scenario should be positive and then we hope to be so. And therefore, you know, next couple of quarters should really give us and one good monsoon in the current calendar year.
Yes.
Should put everything back to the track.
Okay. And, sir, about tiles manufacturing, you said we are expanding and getting into double charge in GVT. Any timeline for that project?
We have invested more than about 7 crores again in that part to really upgrade the technology. And that should happen in another 3 to 4 months. You know, we hope that by the end of the first quarter of FY18, we should be able to be ready with that.
Okay. And how much investment we envisage in Rajasthan?
Rajasthan, if you really go for, you know, at least 10,000 square meters, another it might take about 70 crores business, 70 crores total outlay.
And that will be also through a JV or we only are investing?
Well, currently, we have not really taken any decision on that, but the current JV partner also is open to come to South. And if we gel well with each other, you know, we would like to continue that kind of an arrangement again in Rajasthan too.
Okay, okay. And lastly, sir, how much has been the imports out of our total revenue for this quarter or 9 months, if you can share?
Import has been on a down because we've been trying to import substitute that. We have developed a lot of premium product that we used to import from China, which used to be at least about 15%.
Right.
Which has gone down to 12% now. And again, you know, the import substitution efforts are further on to that part.
So it will come down further from here?
We hope to be, and as such also, you know, the dollar rate is always 68 plus 69, and you don't know if it goes higher, then it's going to be more expensive to us. So we have taken this call to substitute with our own capabilities, which we developed it,
mm-hmm.
and where we have an advantage as well, and therefore you see, you know, why our EBITDA also is on a rise.
Sure. So this 15% to 12% is including at company level, right, and including sanitary and faucets both?
Faucet, we do not import anything from China. Some of the very critical components, that too in lots that we import.
Okay, so this was primarily for
purely for sanitary ware.
Okay, okay. Wonderful. Great, sir. So that was the last thing, sir. So on behalf of Asian Markets, I thank everyone for joining for this call. Special thank Bharat Bhai to you for providing insightful details about the company's business and sharing the outlook. With that, we conclude the call, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. Have a good day, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Asian Market Securities, it concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.